You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Way and the recent agricultural emissions reduction plan the government released, attention is being drawn to how New Zealand will meet its emissions reduction target of net zero by 2050. For our weekly catch-up, I discussed emissions reduction policy with National Party MP Dr. Shane Retty, and how the National Party differs from the government on their approach. We also spoke about recent concerns that have been appearing in the media and in political messaging about the impact monetary policy is having on mortgage holders. I first asked Shane how he would characterize his party's approach to climate change and respond to accusations of slowness.
So I think James needs to remember that he's in coalition government with the government of the day, and they have the ability to set targets. So it's fine to look elsewhere. Let's remember, he holds the keys of power and sits with a government that does. So we need to shift responsibility back where it lies. We're actually very proud of our role in climate change. We signed up to the 2019 Zero Carbon Bill and are fully committed to reducing emissions, including the net zero by 2050. We may have some disagreement on how we get to those targets, but our record is quite clear on where we stand on climate change. So I think James needs to look at his own actions rather than elsewhere.
Where exactly in the sort of list of important issues would you rank climate change and emissions reduction as a key issue coming up to the next election?
Oh, there's no doubt. You've already heard the leader and our health and our key spokespeople talk about climate change as being one of the critical issues that we're facing here in New Zealand, and our commitment to reducing them to the targets that we have set. So it is definitely a key issue for us, and we recognise it as a key issue for New Zealand.
Many in the COP27 summit have talked about how the current targets that many world governments have set are either not optimistic enough, or they're not realistic to the extent that governments are most likely unable to meet these targets. How do you feel about the ability of sort of world governments collectively, but particularly New Zealand, to actually meet the targets that it set out?
This is a really valid point. One can virtue signal and be aspirational, but can you actually achieve the targets? And that's some of the things that the ag sector in particular have raised as well, with the sense and indeed some of the statements that government has made around being number one in world leading with the positioning that we may take around climate change. That may be well and good, but is it operationally feasible? Can we actually deliver those targets, or are we just virtue signalling? That's a really important discussion. I think the answers to that question come up from the industries involved. I think if Wellington tries to top down impose solutions on those who are actually at the ground floor and actually delivering day by day, then it will be virtue signalling disconnected from what can actually be done. So if we look at the He Waka Eke Noa, for example, we continue to be strongly of a view that this needs to be further industry-led, and that many of the solutions need to come bottom-up from the industry and be facilitated and enabled by central government.
Chris Luxon has discussed the potential to use the ocean as an alternative carbon sink to forests. How exactly could this be done? Or would this just be a matter of changing how we measure emissions?
So there are a number of different ways one can sequester carbon, and then you can inject it. I know there's a lot of work being done around the carbon injection, both into land and into oceans. And it's one of those areas as we look around the alternatives to forestry sequestration, if you like, that we're interested in seeing where some of the science directs us as to where else we might be able to sequester carbon. It may well be that we need to do a good job with our position on forestry sequestration first, and the tension that is in the environment at the moment around why non-exotic forestry and hedgerows, for example, can't be taken into account as a carbon sequesterer. So there's probably quite a bit of work to be done there, but we're certainly interested in the science that says there might be other areas where we could sequester carbon.
How would you rank the potential to find new technologies such as, for example, the possibility to sequester carbon through the oceans, which we don't currently have the ability to really expand in a meaningful way? How would you rank that versus the current options that we have and the ability to like you say, expand forest sequestration and that sort of thing. Do you believe that we need to be investing in these further technologies or looking at the tools that are currently available?
Oh, I think it's a combination of both. There are some levers that we have that we can pull around our policies around, for example, forestry sequestration. But we've said for a while that if we're going to impose reasonable limits on the ag sector, for example, they need to have the tools to meet those targets. And a significant part of those of that tool set is what new technology and R&D may bring to the table that facilitate and help the ag sector get towards those targets. So I think we can and we should have it both. We should be looking at the levers we can pull today, but we must also invest in R&D and leading science that gives us further tools that further helps us progress towards those targets.
Another major concern at the moment is the impact the current trajectory of the RBNZ's monetary policy might have on mortgage holders. To what extent do you believe this is an avoidable harm?
Well, if we bring this back to the consequences of inflation, the avoidable harm, the policy decisions that the government makes domestically that affects inflation. The argument has been made that there are unavoidable, the offshore inflationary component, and there may be some truth to that, Ukraine, fuel prices offshore, but there are decisions that have been made locally around government spending and other areas, which are direct policy decisions this government has control of that are having an influence on inflation, which in turn affects mortgage holders. And what we know is that every week there are thousands of New Zealanders who are refixing their mortgage and are stunned and shocked and needing to reevaluate what they won't do as a consequence of their increased mortgage payments, and that's having a real impact on many New Zealanders.
Can we really say that the reason that this is happening is mainly or just due to inflation, given that obviously house prices have been rising for decades, and we've seen during the pandemic for various reasons, it's been easier and cheaper to take out loans and take out mortgages. Is this just inflation or are there other factors at play here?
Look, I think there probably are other contributory factors, but the main factor here today is inflation, which as a combination of factors is approaching record levels, certainly the growth of inflation. So just to say, look, this is just the swings and roundabouts that we have. There are some unusual factors in this inflationary cycle that we're in that the government does have control over. So I don't think it's just our business as usual, normal cycle, houses up and down. There are some events here, some inflationary increases that we haven't seen in decades. And again, the central government has control over those features.
Many identify the major event regarding house prices and them now falling and that affecting quite a number of people. Many regard the major event here to be the high house prices to begin with, given that it's been so unaffordable for so long for many people to enter the market. Do you think that this is a viable view? Would you give any credence to the view that house prices dropping is necessary to alleviate the current crisis?
No, I think the market determines whether house prices go up or down. Whether the pain being felt now is a consequence of an overheated market coming through COVID. Again, the market sets the prices as to what is sustainable and what is not. I think the market is the tool that is best suited to correct house prices.
National has been highly critical recently of the government's failure to deliver the number of homes and the number of alleviation for the house crisis that it promised. Do you believe if the market is the main and the primary mechanism to alleviate the housing crisis and to get people into homes, that the government really should be looking at policy options to begin with?
Yes, I do, and we've talked about this for quite a while, that one of the main policy options is RMA reform, and that the current RMA positioning is a significant hindrance on building further houses. And we've said for a while that there needs to be RMA reform, but let's remember, it wasn't the National government that went out and said we'd build 100,000 homes in 10 years. That was a Labor government election commitment known as Kiwi Build, which has clearly failed miserably.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.